You may be seated. Like, I haven't been ready for anything after the service this morning. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you the praise. We're going to be in Romans tonight. The 8th chapter. I'm going to worship the Lord. Continue to worship the Lord. I just want to commend, I know the pastor's already done it, but I just want to commend Sister Denise, Brother Darius, Brother Gregory's not here tonight, Brother Jonathan. A fantastic job that they are doing in worshiping God.
Yes.
You know, they are doing a fantastic job. You know, you never know what's in a person until they get a chance and an opportunity to do something. And I thank God for our pastor. You know, it's, you know, you can do something. He's going to let you do it now. Problem is, you better be ready. Because at such a time as you think not, he'll put you on the spot. That's what he'll do. He'll put you on the spot. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain.
Your voice.
Come on and give his name some praise. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. The Savior. Jesus the healer. Jesus the peace giver. Jesus the joy bringer. Come on and give him some praise tonight. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to give him some praise. I came to tell him that I love him and that I can't make it without him. To be that he is everything. Hallelujah. He's everything that I have need of. Hallelujah. I've searched the world over and I haven't found anyone like him. I've searched and did the things, the deep things, the hidden things, and I couldn't find anyone like the Lord Jesus. No one can love like he can. No one can deliver like he can. No one can save like he can. No one can keep you like he can. No one can bless you like he can. Come on and give this great God the praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Worthy is he that sits high and looks low. Worthy is he that made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah, heaven and his throne and earth is his footstool. That's how great he is. He's the maker of all things. He holds all things together by his great power. Come on and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor and glory tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and put your hands together one more time for the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We lift you up. Hallelujah. Come on and give the Lord some more praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to his name. We're going to talk about the new nature tonight. The new nature. I'm going to explain what that is so that you get an understanding of what it is. Romans, the 8th chapter. Turn to it, please, and we're going to start at the first verse. Romans 8 and 1. And it reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit."
Come on and give the Lord some more praise.
Hallelujah.
It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Pastor was preaching about the whole armor of God this morning. He was talking about the helmet of salvation. Because of that great salvation that God has provided for us, there is now no condemnation. In other words, we are no longer. That word condemnation means to give sentence. There is no more sentence against us. There is no more sentence against us. That word no there means it is independent, it is direct, it is absolute. There is now no way that anyone, any demon or any kind of mindset that can condemn you, that now that you are in Christ Jesus, now that you are resting in him, now that you're resting in his salvation, and that you are staying in it. See, that word in means to remain in it. Remain in it. Now that there's no condemnation to them who remain in Christ Jesus. It's very important that you stay in God. You know, a lot of folks, they treat God like seasonal work. Seasonal work. In other words, it's like, okay, in the summertime, you know, there's gardening and all that stuff. You don't do any really gardening in the winter. Snow removal. That's seasonal work. Snow removal is seasonal work. Gardening is seasonal work. But you don't stay in God according to the seasons or according to how you feel. You have to remain in Christ. And that word Christ Jesus there means the one who is now exalted, the one who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father and who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now jump down to the third verse. For what the law could not do, what law is that? Law of Moses. Law of Moses was given unto us, it was given unto the children of Israel, and it was to point out some things unto them. It was to point out that they needed a Savior. Now, the Savior wasn't given at that time. Jesus didn't come back in the days of Moses. So they had the law. What the law pointed out was that you needed God and that you were condemned already. Now, what the law could not do, the law could not save them the way Jesus saved us. It was weak because it had to deal with our flesh. Okay, it couldn't change the nature of it. All it could do was point it out and condemn it. That's why you can't live under the law. A lot of folks wants to still do. They want to live according to the Old Testament. That's where they find most of their, that's where they stay at most of the time. You can't live there. You cannot live in the Old Testament. A lot of ministers is trying to perform ceremonies and things out of the Old Testament. You cannot do them. God did away with them. In fact, let's go to the book of Colossians right quick. Go over to the book of Colossians. Second chapter. I'm going to do a little bit more teaching tonight. Colossians 2 and 14. Everybody have to say amen.
Amen.
It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Jesus took the law out of the way for us because you couldn't live by it. Every year you had to go back. You had to go. What they had to do back in the Old Testament, they had to go and get every year a calf and bring it to the priest. And the priest had to slay it and sprinkle the blood over the altar. And that covered you for 1 year. That covered your sin. That didn't cover the nature of it. Now, God had, things that would cover the nature of it. You had to observe the Sabbath day and these types of things. Here it says right here, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Jesus blotted those things out. That's why you no longer have the Sabbath day. Now, a lot of folks, some of you go to church on the Sabbath day. Back in that day, you did not go and do anything on the Sabbath day. When God said there was a day of rest, that's exactly what he meant. You stayed in your tent. You did not come out of your tent. If you had any cooking to do, you did it on the day before. You did any work, you did it on the day before. It was a commandment of God. He said, you shall build no fire. You didn't even keep yourself warm on the Sabbath day. Jesus did away with those things. The handwriting, now we don't have to. It was another one where when the priest came to the temple, they had to bring bread. If they didn't show up with bread, God would kill them. Thank God we don't have to bring a loaf of bread to the service anymore. God did away with those things. So he took those things, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it and nailed it to his cross. He took it out of the way. Now now we don't have to go through a priest. We had to go through the sons of Aaron in order to get to God. We don't have to do that anymore. Now I can step boldly up to the throne of grace and present myself, and I don't need a priest. I don't have to confess to anybody. I confess directly to the Lord himself. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm a sinner. I want your grace. So come and save me, and Jesus will come to the rescue. Come on and give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
So there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to their flesh or their humanity, but after the Spirit. Now, once again, the law could not do. It was weak because of our flesh. So God sent his own son. God sent his own son. Didn't need a bull or a goat anymore because he sent Jesus. The word son there is talking about his nature and his character. That's the thing about Christianity. It's more than saying that I'm a Christian. A lot of folks say that I'm a Christian and they don't know what Christianity is about. When you are a Christian, you have to become Christ-like. What did Jesus do? You have to find out and search these scriptures and find out what he did. Jesus was full of love. Jesus was full of joy. Jesus was full of peace. Jesus loved people. Jesus humbled himself to deal with people. Jesus didn't think he was better than anybody. Okay, and he was the Son of God. He created all things, and yet he came down here and dwelt among his people to show them the error of their ways, to show them that there was a better way, and to show them that he was that way. So God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. What do you mean by the likeness? In other words, Jesus looked like everybody else. Now, some people made that mistake, and some people still make that mistake, that he's just like everybody else. He asked that question, who do men say that I am? Some said you're a liar. Some say you're one of the prophets. But the Spirit of God revealed it to Peter. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, people still think he's the prophet. He's still one of the prophets of the Old Testament. They don't understand that he is God, and only he by his sacrifice. See, he said, God sending his own son in the likeness of sin and for sin. He was the sacrifice for sin. He was the permanent sacrifice. Once he did what he did, now I don't have to go to the priest anymore. I don't have to bring a bull or a dove anymore. I don't have to make that atonement, that yearly atonement. All I have to do now is confess my sin. When I make a mistake, I confess my sin to the Lord, and I am forgiven. I'm forgiven. That's what's great about this thing. There's no condemnation. Therefore, my flesh can't tell me that I messed up anymore, because that's the biggest battle that you have. When you make a mistake, your flesh comes to remind you that you messed up and you're not worthy. Yes, you are worthy. Why? Because God called you. Yes, you are, because you are created in his image, after his likeness, according to the purpose that he had, a many-membered body just like his firstborn son. In other words, you're supposed to be just like Jesus, and he's made the way for you to be like him by sending his son for us. In the likeness of that sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, he pronounced sentence on it by walking upright before the Father. He pronounced sentence on it by not committing sin. Now, Jesus had a choice. It's very important that you understand that Jesus had a choice. He had a choice to follow his own nature or the nature of the Father. That's why Jesus can now tell us to choose, because he had to make the choice. It wasn't stacked where Jesus, you know, it was ironclad that he couldn't commit sin. He had the capacity to commit sin. It was a choice. He received an old nature from his mother. He had to overcome it. That's why he said he was in the world, but he overcame the world. He received a nature from his mother. He had to battle that nature. That nature wanted to dictate to him. And you get to the point in the garden where he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Now, he was with the Father eons ago when they made this plan about that they wanted to come down here. They knew that they were going to send someone down here to save mankind. And yet, at that critical hour, his nature rises up. His humanity rises up to go against the plan of God. But Jesus chose the plan of God. That's why he is the Son of the living God. That's why he is the high Son. That's why God gives him glory and honor, because Jesus completed his mission by obeying the Father. Come on and give God some praise for that. So he condemned sin in the flesh. While he was alive, he condemned it. He proclaimed against it by the word of God. That's why it's important for you to, if you're a born-again Christian, you have to get into this word for yourself. We want to rely on the TV screen and people's books and people's ideas. You have to, God has saved you personally. He is your personal Savior. Okay? He is your personal Savior. Therefore, you can go to him with questions. You can go to him with your problem, because he is your personal Savior, and he will help you. But you have to lend yourself to the help. That's why it's talking about following the flesh and the spirit. I'm going to give you an example. Usually when I'm up and I'm doing the announcements, I tell everybody, the last thing I tell everybody is to cut your cell phones off so that you don't miss out what God has for you. Usually, when I cut my cell phone off, I don't cut it on usually until I leave here tonight when I get home. Don't cut it back on. You know, sometimes pastors call me and he kind of got upset because he couldn't get in contact with me. You know, well, I'm trying to call you and you cut your phone off. Baby, I learned how to cut your phone back on, man. Well, today was something different. We left here today, and all of a sudden the Lord, I knew it was the Lord, and what he does when he talks to me, a lot of times he'll suggest or he'll give me a question. He said, well, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? So he said, you know, maybe you should cut your cell phone off, you know, just in case pastor wants to call you. So I said, yeah, you know what? Maybe I should cut it off. Cut the phone off. By the time I got home, it was ringing. I'm trying to get the phone out of my pocket, can't get it out. Finally got it out, looked at who it was. It's Pastor Relliford. Okay, what did he want? Let me call him. Well, see, Pastor Relliford was supposed to bring the message tonight. So he's telling me that he can't do it because the heat went out in his house. And he's got to be there. He doesn't know how long he's going to be there, but he's got to be there because, you know, his wife is she can't get up and down the steps. So now, okay, I know Pastor Gardner, a lot of times he's tired. Sometimes he don't get up. He don't wake up. So now it's on you. So now, okay, Lord, I was telling Pastor Relliford that, you know, I was working on something. God had inspired me with something. But now I don't know if I got enough time to finish the thought out. Lord, I need help. What should I bring to your people tonight? And all of a sudden, I begin to hear the Lord speak to me about it. There's now no condemnation. See, if I hadn't listened to the Lord, I'd have got here and I'd have wondered what's going on. That's what it means by being led by the Spirit. The salvation of God will lead you into different things to help you so that you're not stuck. Yeah. But now let me give you the opposite, because let me tell you something. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that every time, you know, the Lord spoke to me, I listened. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to be honest with you. Why? Because it might help. Because there's times when I didn't listen to the Lord, and it cost me. After a morning service, Pastor Hart was still pastor. And I left, and I'm going to get me some Chinese food. That's what I want. I want some Chinese food. So I went to this Chinese place. It's over there on Davidson between near Dexter. And usually I park on the street. This time I'm parking in the lot. So I hear that voice. Maybe you should park on the street. Oh, I'm too tired today, Lord. I don't feel like doing that. Now, the street was from where Sister Debbie was to here. I heard the Lord again. You know, maybe you might want to park on the street. Go in there, get my Chinese food, come out, go around to the side to open the door, and all of a sudden I see all this glass on the ground. I look up, and my back window is blew out.
Ooh, wow.
And somebody done went in there, and I had new shoes and new CDs and all kinds of new stuff in there. Wasn't in there then. Why? Because I didn't listen. God is not an ogre where he's going to, you listen to me. See, that's what we think God is. You listen, God. I'm God and I'm going to. No, he's going to lead you. He's going to give you the choice. But you have to be sensitive enough to listen to him. That's why it's talking about being led by the Spirit. That we don't follow our flesh, but we follow, don't follow what we feel. Now, okay, I wasn't that tired. But because I heard the Lord say something to me, now I'm tired. Now I don't want to do it. Now it cost me a couple hundred bucks, not only to get the glass fixed, but now to try to replace some of the stuff that I lost. And guess what? Sometimes you don't get to replace all of the stuff that you lose. I'm still trying to replace some of the things that I lost, and that was years ago. God will give you the desires of your heart if you listen to him. But if you don't listen to him, there is a consequence for you not listen to him. Is he full of mercy? Yes. Is he full of love? Yes. Is he full of warning? Yes. But he leaves it up to you.
Amen.
He leaves it up to you. You have a choice. We have been freed from that, from the law of sin and death. We've been freed from it. In other words, David said, I was shapen and born in iniquity. God allowed him to see what Adam had done and how we are shaped by our circumstances and how we're brought up and those types of things, and shaped by genetics. All of those things shape us and cause us to be who we are. But when you are introduced to Jesus Christ, now you are on the potter's wheel, and he begins to shape you into what he wants you to be. But you have to allow him to shape you. You have to allow him to shape you. He is not going to twist your arm and well, God made me do it. The only thing God would make you do it if he could, and that was to make you get saved. That's the only thing God will make you do. And he leaves that choice up to you. It's up to you whether you want salvation or not.
Amen.
Now, let's give God some praise. We're going to get back to this. Fourth verse, 8 and 4. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, that law of Moses, that law of God that God gave out to prove that it was a good law, to prove that it was righteous, is fulfilled in us. Why? Because Jesus has come. He has taken up his abode in our life. And now we follow his dictates. We listen to Christ, the new nature that is in us. And that righteousness is filled out in us. The scripture is filled out in us that how we are the righteousness of God, not because of who we are and how we were born, but because we have allowed Jesus, who is the righteous one, to take up that place in our lives, and he fulfills that righteousness in us who walk and follow after him. That's why he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is not the devil. Get that out of the way quick. It's not the devil. Darkness has to do with the man who was born in the light, the man Adam, the originator of this thing. He was born in the light, but he chose to walk away from God. When you walk away from God, from Jesus, who is the light, the only place that's left is darkness. The light, he represents the illumination. He represents the knowledge. He represents the wisdom. He represents the joy, the peace. That is all considered light. When you walk away from that, now you in darkness. Now you in misery. Now you in loneliness. Now your emotions come up. And that's why people have roller coasters with their emotions. Why? Because you walked away from the light. God will help and stabilize your mind, your emotions, but you have to give it up to him. We're on the fifth verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They who have set their affections, they that live according to the affections of the flesh do mind the things of. Even though I'm a born again Christian, the thoughts come. I'll give you a perfect example. A lot of times we're up worshiping God and the Spirit is moving, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat after I get, after service. That's flesh. That's flesh. Now is the time to be worshiping God, not thinking about what I'm going to eat. Got time for all that.
Pastor was singing a song. Y'all take the time out to worship God, to praise the Lord. That's the time to praise God. Lots of God, we were talking about that this morning in the Sunday school class. Pastor Hart established this thing over 50 years ago, and Pastor God has kept going. In other words, there's a time for worship, there's a time for this class, there's a time for that class. Well, folks are trying to mix it up. When it's time to worship, now they want to read their Bible. And you know the order of service. It's time to stand up and worship God. But no, this time you feel that it, Brother Tony, it's time now to open up my Bible when everybody else is standing up worshiping God. Heard a report last week. I'm up teaching the class, and all of a sudden I'm hearing this singing. Now all of a sudden maybe it was angels singing in the place. You mean while the word of God's being taught, angels gonna sing? See, God is a God of order. He is a God of common sense. He doesn't do silly stuff. Man does that. Man gets in there, tries to mix it up. Amen. And put his stuff in it, and it's out of order. Amen. When you went back in that Old Testament, you had to do things decent and in order. Let me tell you why. Because if you didn't bring the stuff the way God brought it, like I was talking about, there's lots of covenants in this book. We're finding them out as we study the tabernacle. There's lots of different covenants, lots of different commandments that God wanted done when they came into that temple. They had to eat their meals together. That was a commandment of God. They had to finish all of those meals. You couldn't leave it. In other words, God provided, you had to eat it. You were commanded to fellowship together. There was a covenant of salt. When you did that sacrifice, you had to sprinkle that meat, that sacrifice with salt. If you didn't, you were under a death sentence. If you didn't bring that bread in the temple, you were under a death sentence. If you didn't have those garments on when you came into that temple, you were under a death sentence. God has freed us from that death sentence, and all we have to do is present ourselves to God, a living sacrifice, and God accepts us. Come on and give God some praise. Once again, for they that live according to the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that live according to the Spirit, that Spirit there talks about the new nature of Christ. That small mindset, still small voice that I was telling you about, that leads you and guides you into all truth. And not only will it lead you spiritually, it will also lead you secularly. It will, in every area that you open God up to, God is more than happy to fill that void. Because he is anxious to show you that he is God in every situation of your life. There is no situation that he is not God. There is no situation that he can't handle. There is no situation that he can't give you the victory in. But it's up to you. If you limit God, God's a gentleman. He's not, like I said, he's not going to throw you down and make you do anything. Sixth verse, for to be carnally minded is death. To mind the things of the flesh will kill you. The Bible says for the wages or the payout for operating according to the old nature is death. That's why when Jesus said that statement, a lot of folks once again think that he was talking to or about the devil. When he said, ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do over there in John. He was talking about the man Adam. See, Jesus considered Lucifer and the man Adam, devils. You have to find out which one he's talking about, though. That's why you have to study these scriptures. And let me tell you something about studying. I'm going to just make this plain. When you study, okay, that word study means to examine, to break apart, okay? It does not mean to read it. I'll give you an example. We're in biology class. Okay, we come in there, and one day you sit down at your desk, and all of a sudden we see these trays in front of us, and it's got a frog on it. I'm like, what's this? You're getting ready to use that little scaffold that they gave you to open that frog up and see what's inside of it. That means because to look at the frog, I can see that he has eyes and nostrils and a mouth, and I see he's got three toes on the front and, you know, webbed feet in the back. But I don't know where his heart is. I don't know where his brain is. I don't know where the liver is. I have to open him up in order to find out what's going on. In the same way, you have to open the word up. How do you open the word up? You got to have a Greek and Hebrew concordance.
Oh, you don't need Hebrew and Greek. If you want to understand God's word, you do. Why? Because it was written in Hebrew and in Greek. And in order to get the proper, it said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly understanding what God is saying to you. Because let me tell you something, I was telling Pastor, once I learned to study, I started hearing some stuff, I'm like, that don't sound right. Don't sound right. Give you an example. Over there in Ephesians, it talks about the prayer. It's talking about the height and the depth and how he wanted to. In fact, let's go over there and read. Go to Ephesians. We got a little time. We're not going to be here all night. Ephesians 3rd chapter. Third chapter, and we'll start the 14th verse. Everybody have to say amen. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, whether the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which path of knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now he's right there, he's telling you about the love and how that is, he wants you to be filled with it, that it indwells you. Well, a few years back, somebody, the way they preached it, they were talking about prosperity, riches of God, talking about the money of God. That's talking about the love of God. You have to be able to rightly understand what is being preached at you, because a lot of times that's why it's important that you have a personal relationship with God, because when you turn on the TV screen, a lot of times those folks on there is trying to pay their Visa bill. They're trying to stay on the air. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do whatever it takes to stay on the air. They're going to do whatever it takes to stay on the air. So if they bypass some stuff to make sure that you can send that stuff in to stay on the air or entice you, just like Pastor was talking about, the Gideon offer. $300 for Gideon. Who was Gideon? Gideon was a chicken. He was scared. He has to constantly throw out fleeces before the Lord. But you're going to be blessed because you send that out. See, you have to be led by, in other words, you can't allow things to motivate you, in other words, because, okay, God is not Santa Claus. A lot of times what people want to do, you kind of do this to motivate God to give something back to you in a financial manner. You can't, let me tell you something, God is almighty. His laws and his blessings are fixed. They're not going to move. They're not going to change. You have to operate by those laws in order to get the benefit. He's not going to change the laws for you. Okay? He's not going to do it. So you can send all the money you want. It's not going to change God. You have to obey God. If, like Pastor was saying, if you can send a $1,300 offering. If you're not paying your tithes, you're not going to get the blessing. Amen. You're not going to get it. God is not going to short circuit one thing to bless you over here. You got to do all of the word. All of it. He said every dot, every tittle of the word, you have to perform it. Once you find out, if you don't know it, once you find out, then you got to do it. The nature and the character of God within your life is there to help you to do it. God didn't give you a stumbling block. God gave you an aid. He gave you the one who performed it himself. That's why Jesus, the pattern son, came down here without his great power. He divested himself of it and came down here and walked as a human being. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Because guess what? That's what we are. We are men and women filled with the Holy Ghost, led by God. He was the first. We're the brethren and the sisters that come after him. Led by God. That's why he didn't say, I didn't do anything of myself. We don't do anything of ourselves except depend on God. And when you depend on God, God will help you. When you depend on God, God will not leave you nor forsake you. He is there to bless you. He's there to keep you. But you've got to follow it according to the plan, according to the pattern. You've got to find out what the pattern is so that God can bless you. Now, when you don't know God, you know, you know how parents do. They don't know that they're supposed to do this. We bless the child anyway. God is gracious and merciful. Once you find out, now you got to do that word. Once my father gave me chores at the house, now he would just bless me. Okay, now there's chores to do. Don't forget to take that trash out, son. Get to take the trash out. Well, now I want to go here. Well, you can't go here. Why? Because I done told you a couple of times and you done forgot. A lot of times what we do is sometimes we forget on purpose. That's how the mind demanded. The same way I was telling you about the fact when God told me to move that car, I told the Lord, I'm too tired to move the car, Jesus. I'm too tired to move the car. And it cost him. It cost him. He didn't do it. God didn't take a brick and smash the car. A man did it. A man, a thief. He did it. We ain't gonna go there. Let's go back to Romans. Come on, give God some praise. We almost done. Amen. Sixth verse again. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To take the Spirit of God, and I'm born again, and to do things out of order is going to cause me death. It's going to cause me to be separated from God. That's what the man Adam did. God told him, reproduce according to my nature and my image. What did he say? He said, I got a son in my own image. That was directly against what God had commanded. Wasn't a mistake. So a lot of people, oh, Adam made a mistake. No, he did this mistake on purpose. Okay, and it's been glossed over so that we blame Lucifer for everything. Lucifer caused me to have an accident. I got too many steps at my house because of the devil. When I signed my name on the lease, but it's the devil's part that I got to climb two flights of steps. See, we blame him for everything. Ain't his fault. It's our fault. We have to take responsibility. That's one of the things that God wants his Christians to do, is to take responsibility for their actions. If you take responsibility for your actions, God will help you. If you push it off on somebody else, what did he ask the man? Adam, what hast thou done? What did Adam say? Lord, the woman that you gave me, she did it. He didn't take responsibility. What did the woman say? She agreed. The serpent beguiled me, and I ate. She knew the word, too. She knew the word. There's no escape from disobeying the word. It says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. It's eternal life. We have eternal life right now, and it is peace. It is peace. It is the peace of God for us. It's the peace of God for us. Now, seventh verse, it says, for the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind, the unsaved mind, is against God. It has to be brought up under subjection. That's why you don't get saved the first time. A lot of folks don't get saved the first time they hear the word, because that old man don't want to get saved. He don't want to get saved. Nobody in here came out of the womb speaking in tongues and jumping and shouting and running. God had to introduce himself to us, and he had to soften us up. Because that old man is hard. He's full of hate. He will kill you at the drop of a hat, folks. Come on, listening to voices. Yeah, they listening to that voice. It ain't Lucifer's voice. It's that own voice telling them to kill. They can get away with it. The mind can convince them of anything. I can kill somebody, and I can get away with it. They convince themselves that they can do these things. That came from the sin nature. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. When you walk away from that, you get the opposite. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It refuses to bow itself down. Why? Because it's his own law. In the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul said, I see another law operating in my members, warring against the law of my mind, warring against the mind of Christ. That mind is within me. It's the sin nature. God has cut us free from it, but now you have a choice. Are you going to follow after the new nature, the mind of Christ, or are you going to follow you? Because see, everybody, like I said, I'll say that once again. Nobody in here is going to follow Lucifer. Nobody's going to follow him. We know better than that. But I follow Tim. What Tim feels, I'm going to do it. Once again, just like I told God, I'm too tired to move the car, Lord. I didn't feel like doing it. So it cost me. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It takes faith to please God. Pastor was teaching that. Faith, obedience. Jesus was faithful because he was obedient to everything he heard the Father say, and he performed it. We have to be obedient to everything that the Lord Jesus tells us. That's what makes you a son or daughter of God, when we obey what God tells us. Now you got to get into this word and find out what God is saying to you personally. Once again, ain't gonna get a lot of times on the TV screen. Got to get in this word. Got to get in this word. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians, 5th chapter. We're almost done. Galatians, 5th chapter. Galatians 5 and 16, it says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, you won't complete it. The thought comes. If you act on it, then you complete the thought. That's when you get into sin. It's not a sin to receive the thought. It's a sin to act on it. That's what the mind of Christ is there to give you, the strength not to act on it anymore. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The old nature and the new nature are at war, and they are at war within you. They're pushing at each other. God wants to do one thing. He wants to love and joy, and the flesh wants to do its own thing. What it feels like doing. It don't feel like worshiping God, so I don't get up this morning. I know I'm supposed to be in the worship God. I got a prayer time. I don't feel like praying now. All right, that's that old man telling you, too tired. Well, they don't like you. Why are you getting up there? They don't like you. You can't be concerned with that. That's that flesh pushing against the Spirit. These are contrary one to another. They don't get along. I understand that. That old man that is within me, I understand it. That's why I'll tell you, when I'm getting dressed in the morning on Sunday morning, I hear the thoughts coming. They don't like you. Nobody's going to show up. What you doing that for? Not the devil. He didn't call me to this position. God did. Amen. The old man is there telling me they don't like you and nobody's going to show up. He's the one bombarding you with those thoughts. Why? Because he doesn't want to. He don't like worshiping God. He don't like it. Let me tell you something. Did what I wanted to do. Stayed out as long as I wanted to. Never had a pain in my body. Started doing stuff for Jesus and see what happened. You get every pain imaginable. Pains you ain't never had in your life. Why? Because that joker is alive and he is within you and he hates God. He hates being dragged into that presence where he got to be quiet and the Spirit of God moving. So he's going to try to make you pay with pains and agony and all kinds of thoughts going. Like I was telling you before, I used to worship God on the furniture dock. Me and Jesus was having a good time. All of a sudden, here I'm thinking about the boss who's not even here yet and how he mistreat me. Wait a minute, he's not even here. Why am I thinking about this joke? Spirit moving. Tears rolling. God instructed me, and I'm thinking about him. It's just like those, see, y'all young people, y'all don't, some of y'all know about the vinyl. See, y'all got the plastic, the CD. See, we had the vinyl. Those are the big CDs.
Yeah. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Big
yeah.
CDs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't use a laser beam, they used a diamond needle.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, so you can see, now you open up the CD thing, you can see that light going back and forth, you know, from whatever cut. Well, you didn't see that. You saw those lines in there that separated the song, and the needle would go along the thing. Okay? When you scratched it, see, if you scratched a CD, it won't play at all. If you scratch one of those vinyls, it will still play. But what would happen is, when it got into that little groove, then it was zip over where it wasn't the groove anymore. That's what when I'm trying to get you to see is when I was worshiping God and all of a sudden I started thinking about the boss, I hit the crack. I hit the scratch and zipped over to where I'm out of the things of God and thinking about how this man is persecuting me and he's not even there. God just showed me that. He had to show me that. So I quit worrying about him. See, you have to push these things out of your way. That's what the mind of God is. How they treat you on your job, you have to still do it. You have to still do your duty unto God. Why? Because you've been called by God. God has now put you in a state where you are no longer condemned. They can't judge you. Yourself can't judge you. And now you are free to do the will of God. You are free. This is the freedom that we have. The freedom that I know that in spite of everything, you know what? Guess what? You know, I want to be blessed and I want a nice car, nice home and all those things. But guess what? If I don't get them, I know God is still a blesser. I know he's still a provider. I know that he's still a keeper. And guess what? My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I have eternal life now. Why? Because he's made me free from the law of sin and death. Yes. That joker Adam tried to destroy me, and he's still trying to destroy me. But the Spirit of God, which is within my life, he's the overcomer. I overcome because Jesus overcame. I'm a winner because Jesus a winner. It doesn't matter what kind of pains I'm going through, I'm still a winner. Why? Because he's there to lead me. He's there to guide me. I was telling you about the pain I was having when I didn't know what happened to my car. God went to jail and I didn't know what happened to my car, and I'm asking the Lord, but in the meantime God still strengthened me in spite of this muscle spasm that I was having. God still had things lined up for me so that I could still do my job, and I still managed to give God some prayer. Yeah, Brother Tim, did you do some complaining? Did you do some crying? Yeah, I was going, Lord, I wanted to ask him, Lord, why is this happening to me? But you know what I found out? That's not the way to get God's presence. So I put that aside in spite of the way I feel. Lord, I'm going to give you some prayer. Lord, yeah, I'm having muscle spasm, but I'm going to walk this walk. Why? Because you gave me this job. Lord, I asked you for a job and you gave it to me. Therefore, if I got to walk a couple miles, I'm going to walk those miles. Why? Because you blessed me. You the one that gave me this job. Lord, when I didn't have an opportunity, you the one that opened the door for me. Therefore, I'm going to give you praise by marching to this job in spite of how I'm feeling, in spite of the muscles. And like I'm telling the pastor, I mean, those muscle spasms started from my neck all the way down to my feet. I'm thinking I'm losing my arches on my feet. I'm having muscle spasm in my feet. Why? Because the old man wants to affect your walk. He wants to affect your work. He wants to affect your mind. But let me tell you, there's now no condemnation. There's now no power that can hold you back. There's no influence that can stop you. Can't no demon, whatever his name is, stop you. Whatever his rank is, it don't matter. Why? Because the greater one, the one who made all things, is within you. The one who created all things, that power is within you. You are unstoppable. But it's up to you to think that way. It's up to you to allow that man which was in Christ Jesus to lead you and guide you. That man took him all the way. He is now at the right hand of Father, full of the honor, full of the glory. He's got a name that's above every name. Why? Because Jesus completed his mission. He didn't have a name that was above every name until he completed his mission. Now he's got the name that's above every name. Every knee's got to bow to him. Everything's got to declare that he is God, to the glory of God the Father. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. So it don't matter. Let me tell you something. We're in a fight. You're in a fight. I ain't in a fight with Lucifer. That's gone. That's just like the Super Bowl. That was weeks ago. That game's over. New game coming. We beat them.
God took care of Lucifer, but there's a new opponent. There's a new opponent. His name's Adam. Or better yet, his name's Tim. I have to overcome him. I have to overcome him. I have to fight. To tell that joker, stand and fight. You know, I'm kind of silly. And Pastor preached on, I had a little thought, and then we're going to close. Pastor used to preach on the treasure in earthen vessels. And how the mind of God works. He preached it about 6 or 7 times, and each time, because he allowed the Spirit of God to lead him, it was a different point. It never sounded the same. When you allow God to do things for you, God will lead you into new and different areas of your life in the Word. Secondly, domestic, God is unlimited. And I just had a thought. The old TV show Batman. And the Joker had broken into this place and he's stealing all these jewels. And he's laughing and clowning and doing all this stuff. That's the way the old nature is. He wants to steal the jewels. You are the jewel of God. You are that hidden treasure. He wants to steal you. All of a sudden, Batman broke in and told him, stand and fight. Stand and fight. It's time to fight. It's time to tell that Joker to stand up and fight. To let you know. In other words, you're not going to cower down to what he's trying to tell you, that you're not worthy. God moved this one and told, there's many of you that have not preached the word of God, who have not ministered, that God is going to use you. But that old man is going to tell you that you can't do it, that there's no opportunity, that it can't be done. You have to stand up and tell that Joker with that armor on that you can do the will of God. Why? Because God is the one who called you into this position. He's the one that established you. He sent his own son down here to shed his blood to make sure that you can do what you do. All you got to do is place yourself in opportunity. Now, I don't know about Sister Denise. Maybe she may have thought, maybe I might never get used. But you have to be there. And you have to, when your opportunity comes, that you be in that position. Sometimes it may take years. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's fair. But it may take years. But if you stand in the spot that God has told you to stand in due season, God will open that door so that you can walk through. You can walk into your ministry or whatever God has planned for you. It doesn't matter, because God is all powerful. He's the greater one. He's the most high God. He's the omnipotent one. He's the omniscient one. All the power is in his hand. And guess what? All that power is within you. Why? Because his son, the one who created all things, has taken up his authority. Hold in you. Let me tell you something. The one who called the stars into existence is in you. Hallelujah. The one who set the earth in the orbit that it's in right now is within you. Nothing is beyond you, because nothing is beyond him. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody sing. Glory to God. Come on and give God some praise. Come on and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not condemned anymore. I don't care what my flesh tells me. I'm going to tell him God's great. I don't care what pain he sends my way. I'm going to tell him God's great. He's the greater one. He's the great I am. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright in the morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. Why? Because my God loves me. He's provided a way, and all I got to do is stand up and fight, and God will fight with me. Hallelujah. He'll fight my battle. Some of my battles, he's going to tell me, son, you step out of the way. I got this one. I got your back. Hallelujah. What a God we serve, that he's got our back. Hallelujah. He did not only that. Now, he will strengthen you for the fight, but when you can't handle it, he'll handle it for you. Come on and give God some praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody come on down front. We're just going to take hands and pray.